Yes, you are listening to World Football Daily here on Monday's edition of the show. I am, of course, your host, Oliver the Juice Wilson, and we are going to be getting some news and views from one of Goal.com's top writers, Mr. Alex Labadou, joining us now on the line. Alex, how are you, mate? How was your weekend?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, man?
Very well indeed. Very well indeed. What did you get up to this weekend, mate?
Well, you know, aside from watching all those upsets in the FA Cup, you know, it was a great weekend to stay at home in New York because it's freaking brutal out there. You know, like, there's snow all over the place. It's like 10 degrees. I'm jealous of you guys out in California.
Oh, mate, it's I'm always jealous of Rafa out in California. That's for sure, mate. We've been been dealing with the snow as well over here in the UK, but Rafa's been sitting pretty in the sun. So yeah, I think he's definitely winning.
Buddha Rafa, right there.
Damn right, mate.
California weather.
I tell him every day. I tell him every day. Look, Alex, I really want to get into an article that you've put up on Goal.com. An exclusive with Chris Hughton talking about the lack of black managers in the Premier League. First and foremost, break down what you're saying in the article for our audience and without giving too much away, obviously. And where do you stand on this subject?
Well, you know, basically me and Chris, we had a brief chat about just sort of the state of the Premier League and the managers that are involved. And, you know, his viewpoint was that, you know, there is a lack of diversity in the coaching rank. And, you know, he's sort of happy to see that there's progress being made, but there are a lot of former black players who are being discouraged because they feel that their color is part of the reason why they're not being hired.
Now, where do you stand on this issue, Alex? Because there's a number of people that go. I mean, there's not just two sides to this fence, if you will, to sit on. There's so many in between parts. Where exactly do you stand on it, do you think?
Well, I was kind of shocked that Chris said that the Rooney Rule wasn't something that he felt would be a good fit in England, just because I understand that the demographics are very different from the U.S. and England, and obviously there's a lot more, you know, diversity in America than there is in England. But the Rooney Rule, I think the great thing about it is the fact that even if a guy doesn't get hired, the chance that he got interviewed allows him to introduce himself to an owner and say, hey, like, let's say he impresses in his interview, you know, there's a chance that he might get called back if the guy he hires didn't work. You know, like, look at like a situation like Aston Villa, for example, like with Paul Lambert. Let's say they decide to fire him. You know, maybe they talk to a guy like Chris Hughton in the past and they go, hey, he might be a good fit this time around. And that's sort of what happened with the NFL is, you know, by having all these guys interview for positions, maybe sometimes they didn't get the job, but they were always on the radar because of the fact that their names were always being attached to these big jobs. So I think I was a little surprised when he said that he didn't think that the Rooney Rule would be a good fit.
Do you think it promotes, maybe because it's what some people who I've spoken to about it in the game say, it promotes positive discrimination? In terms of, you know, people are only being given that interview because they match a certain skin color.
Oh, no, I disagree. I mean, me personally, I'm not in favor of just hiring someone because of their color. But I think that the reality is you know, and I'm sure you've had this experience and I've had this experience when, you know, a job opens, usually a guy who's making that choice, you know, he goes with the guy who's recommended to him. You know, and in the world of football, the majority of it is, you know, white males, you know. So with that being said, it's sort of like, you know, maybe you don't know about a qualified minority candidate because you're not hearing about him or you're not getting recommendations for him. So I think sort of the practice of the Rooney Rule allows these owners who maybe haven't heard about a qualified minority candidate to really talk and get his feedback about the positions out there, and sometimes you luck out. That's what I personally feel.
Now, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but I just wondering then, is it not in part though on the players? I mean, if anybody goes for a job interview, you try and put yourself out there as much as possible by either being a little bit different on your CV or something like that, or making sure that the person who's interviewing, you know, remembers you for something, for anything, whatever it may be. Now, isn't there though really an onus on minority coaches to kind of go out and put their name out there for the jobs that are available? Well, say if you're a qualified coach, I mean, you said just a second ago, Alex, that if the qualified coaches, you know, maybe it's a chance for them to be noticed when they maybe go overlooked. But isn't there an onus on them themselves, the qualified minority coaches, to put themselves out there for those jobs if they hear about it, to be in contact with a chairman saying, look, I'm very interested in working with the club, etc.? As I say, I'm only playing devil's advocate here.
I don't think that there's been a lack of minority coaches who have expressed their interest in taking over jobs. I just think that 9 out of 10 times, when you look at most of the positions in the Premier League, you know, it's a situation. I mean, you know, you look at, for example, with I don't know, for example, Chelsea, I guess, firing Di Matteo. You know, basically the first guy he got in touch with, Roman, was Rafa Benitez, who had been in touch with Roman Abramovich for over 2 years. So that's a situation where he was very familiar with Rafa Benitez, and that's why he was comfortable in hiring him. I think, you know, the only black coaching candidate who I'd say would have an easy time getting a job is Thierry Henry when he finally decides to retire, because of the fact that he's a well-known player, he's very liked, you know, there's not really sort of a who's that guy, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's qualified.
Do you think it's important for managers, successful managers like Chris Hughton, like Chris Powell as well at Charlton, especially in the UK, where this does appear to be a problem, a lack of minority and black managers and coaches. Do you think it's important for us to show that we have, that there are these kind of trailblazers who are coming through and being very successful as managers?
Well, one thing that was surprising to me is that you know, when you look at Chris Hughton being hired by Norwich and when he was coaching at Newcastle, no one really, and that was part of the reason why I decided to seek out a way to talk with him, is no one really highlighted that fact. And I don't think that there's anything wrong in saying, hey, you know, this is a successful black manager who's, you know, worked his way, he's been in the game for 20 years, you know, as a coach, as an assistant, and he's done a good job as a head coach in both positions that he's had. So I personally think that one thing I would like to see different is maybe the UK media sort of, you know, highlight these guys and get their experiences out there to sort of paint a picture of how it can be realistic for a minority coach. I mean, the one other interesting point that I found about, you know, my interview with Chris was the fact that, you know, he made it very clear to me that he never felt any unfair treatment as a black manager, you know, and that's something that I wouldn't have expected, but, you know, that was something that he stressed several times, is that, you know, in his coaching path, he's never had any obstacles based on race. He obviously said that there's obviously racism in England and in the UK, but as in regards to his coaching career, he's never experienced that. So that's something that, to me, like, if I'm a young black coach or a minority coach reading that, maybe that inspires me a little bit more. And maybe that goes, hey, like, I should go and get my badges and you know, work in the smallest job as I can and work my way up. Whereas maybe now, before that article, they're thinking, oh, there's racism and all these other factors that you know, can't be controlled.
Jesus, it's not just a problem in England and in English football as well, though. It seems to be a problem all over the world, Alex. Do you think it's time that this Rooney Rule was adopted, not just in England, in the rest of Europe, in Major League Soccer as well?
I mean, it is sort of surprising to me that, you know, every year the MLS, they publish a statement that says we're the most diverse sports league in America. And what they fail to highlight is they're also not very diverse in their coaching ranks. You know, I mean, last year, I believe Robert Fraser was the only minority coach in the MLS. And this year, I mean, Aaron Winter was there for a little bit. This year, you only have two coaches, one at Chivas and one at Colorado. So for me, I look at that and, you know, considering we're in America where you see, you know, tons of minority coaches in basketball, you see a good percentage of minority coaches in the NFL, it is a little surprising to me that there aren't more minority coaches in Major League Soccer.
Alex, it's been a pleasure to have you on and discuss this topic. I just wanted to ask one final question on this before we just have a very brief chat about your thought on some of the FA Cup action from this weekend. Of course, Norwich struggling this weekend. Do you think, I mean, you look at someone like Paul Ince wasn't given very long at Blackburn Rovers. John Barnes wasn't given very long at Celtic. Do you think minority managers and coaches are given less time when you look at someone like Steve Keane, who didn't have the backing of the fans or seemingly some of the players at Blackburn Rovers last season, yet he was kept in. Do you think you're given less of an opportunity in terms of the length of your reign? If things start going bad, you're taken out of the position quicker as a minority manager.
I totally agree with that viewpoint. I mean, you look at a guy like Antoine Kombare from PSG, who, he was a coach who, always had PSG overachieving when they weren't owned by the Qatari group. And then once they were owned by the Qatari group, even though he was on top of the table, he was still let go. And I understand that they wanted to bring in Ancelotti because of the fact that he was a bigger name and he might be able to attract bigger guys. But I just felt that based on everything that I had read from his statements, he was told that if, PSG were in a winning position to win the title, he would at least be able to finish out the year. And that would have meant so much for his coaching career, because then even if he would have been let go of at the end of the year, he would have at least been able to sell himself as a league winning title coach. So you look at situations like that. Also, as you illustrated with Steve Keane, the fact that they stuck by him for 2 years and, fired Paul Ince after, I think, like 3 or 4 months of actually coaching. It just displays sort of the lack of patience given to minority coaches. And it's a sad state of the game. I don't know if that will ever improve just because of the circumstances, but hopefully at least more opportunities will be granted to, future Chris Hughtons in the world,
Oh, definitely. And it's something that we all hope as football fans that it does kind of level out and we do see more minority and black managers in coaching, in football in general, not just in England, but all across the world. Alex, we got to talk about the FA Cup stuff just for a second, because you said you've been following it a lot this weekend. Which for you is standout, the biggest shock of all the big sides that got knocked out?
I would actually say, believe it or not, I know that they lost to a championship team, where some teams lost to non-league teams and some teams lost to Division IV teams. But I would say Tottenham losing the Leeds might have been the most shocking to me, just because of the fact that Tottenham, they played a pretty strong team, and they, they were talking about how they really wanted to win this FA Cup, and they disappointed. Giving up two goals to Leeds was unacceptable in my view, just considering the guys that they had out there. And, in the last 10 or 15 minutes of that game, they just didn't look like they had a solid offensive plan to get back into it. They just looked kind of like they were just trying to hustle up the field, but there wasn't any sort of buildup or any really solid chances until maybe the last few seconds. So I thought that was the biggest surprise to me. Obviously, Liverpool versus Oldham is another one that was pretty surprising, but there were more younger players in that game. So that's sort of the reason why I give the Tottenham game a little bit more of an edge.
What about for the FA Cup in general, for raising maybe its profile, for bringing back that cup magic that people talk about but we rarely see? How important was this weekend of attracting our attention once again to this this historical tournament?
I mean, can I be honest with you? Based on this weekend, this sort of live, brought back some excitement back to soccer in Europe in general. I mean, this has been as straightforward of a year in terms of the European competitions as it gets. I mean, for example, Barcelona is going to probably win. Bayern is going to win in Germany. PSG is going to win in Ligue 1. Manchester United is going to win in the Premier League. So the FA Cup, this is the first time where I really don't know who's going to win this competition. There's a lot of good teams left, and there's a lot of giant beaters out there. It's really open-ended, and it's really exciting. This is probably the last exciting competition left for this season, in my opinion.
Alex, you need to get on the WFD bandwagon and get following Serie A doggedly, mate, because that's where the excitement is. That's the one title race that we can't predict here in Europe. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show today, mate.
Oh, come on. It's going to be Juve.
Oh, no way. They're stumbling against Genoa.
Oh, come on. I'm not even holding my breath on that one.
They are stumbling and bumbling their way through 2013, and suddenly Napoli, don't ever count out AC Milan as well. That side is on a roll right now. I'm telling you, this is going to be a close Serie A title race. And if not, we'll definitely get you back on for the end of the season, and I will put my hands up and apologize to you and bow to your footballing knowledge, Alex.
Okay, thank you. And hopefully Milan gets Mario Balotelli. That would be interesting.
That would be fantastic. As long as he doesn't go off the rails again. I mean, I couldn't tolerate that in the Rossoneri. That would just be beyond... it'd be a bit much, especially with El Shaarawy coming on so well and Balotelli messes up the mix-up in that. That would be awful.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, take care, Alex. It's a pleasure to have you on the show today, mate, and we look forward to getting you back on as soon as we can.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Alex Labadou there from Goal.com joining us at Sports Lab with a capital S, capital L, SportsLab. Sports Lab is where you can find him on Twitter, the deputy editor of Goal.com USA. Alex Labadou joining us here on World Football Daily. We're going to take a very quick break here. A fantastic read, that Alex Labadou article. We'll be taking the link out of that and printing it, tweeting it even out on at W Football Daily.
We know you love that free bit from us here at WFD. Now go and sign up and get access to a huge archive of our content and interviews and download the best daily podcast in America. Go to worldfootballdaily.com and become a member today.